The following talk was given at the Insight Meditation Center in Redwood City, California. Please visit our website at audiodharma.org.
So now, in this, continuing with this second talk on compassion, karuna. So maybe, as I said yesterday, there are maybe many different definitions of compassion, and maybe there are many forms of compassion as there are people. And that compassion, as wonderful it is and profound as it is, we should be very careful not to put it into just like there's one thing. We know what compassion is. But even so, in the range of what compassion can be, that the Buddhist idea of karuna, K-A-R-U-N-A, has its own flavor, its own particular way of being or aspect that's, I think, quite worthwhile to learning and understanding this flavor of compassion. And I don't know exactly if it's the case, but I have been told or read that the word karuna comes from the same root as the word karma, meaning action. And that somehow in the pre-Buddhist time, karuna referred to something called sacred action, a kind of special action, which then maybe the Buddha or the religious world of his time utilized to refer to something that's close to what we call compassion. But one of the characteristics of this, of the Buddha's discussion about karuna, is that he primarily talked about it as something that's cultivated and experienced in meditation. He had another word called anukampa, which was the expression of care, maybe compassion, that is translated into how we act in the world, act with care, act with compassion. But this very important word, karuna, is primarily something that is cultivated in meditation, discovered in meditation for many of us. And what makes that special, I think, is that meditation is a place where we're settling in to discover how to be free of the hindrances, among other things, to be free of ill will, to be free of compulsive desire, free of sloth, torpor, restlessness, anxiety, regrets, and doubt, to discover how to not have any clingings, to be deeply at ease and at peace here. And the whole experience of encountering suffering or being concerned with the suffering of oneself and with others, when the hindrances and clinging are not there or not in the forefront, not complicating it, gives compassion a very unique flavor. It's a compassion then that is free of tension, free of clinging, free of the distress that arises because of clinging. And in particular, one of the forms of distress that can be born out of, you know, together with compassion, out of contact with suffering, is related to all the ways in which we cling to self, all the ways in which the self is wounded or hurt or easily triggered or made frightened. And when this sense of self gets rectified, gets harmonized, gets softened, gets kind of dissolves in this wonderful field of goodwill of meditation, then self and self-concern, self-preoccupation, egotism, is not, doesn't get tied up in the compassion. And so compassion then becomes free of what's called the near enemy of compassion. Near enemy is something that looks like compassion but isn't. And sometimes it's called pity, that we feel pity for people, or a certain kind of distressed feeling of horror or alarm, where we really feel strongly motivated and concerned and caught in the experience of suffering and the suffering of others. And we might call it, and we worry about people, and we might call that compassion, but maybe it's not quite compassion. It looks like compassion, but it isn't the kind of karuna compassion, this karuna that the reference point is this deep sense of inner well-being. And if we have that sense of well-being and happiness within that comes from letting go of clinging and letting go of self-preoccupation, then one of the kind of confusions around compassion is that if we're compassionate, we're altruistic, that we don't have any concern with ourselves and we just give ourselves completely over to caring for other people as if we don't matter. And it's fine for us to stay up, you know, all night and exhaust ourselves and do, you know, do whatever we can because we're supposed to be compassionate. But when the reference point is this sense of well-being in meditation, then it becomes obvious that we're harming ourselves when we don't give any attention to ourselves. And so the compassion, this karuna in Buddhism, is not an altruistic compassion, but it's also not a selfish compassion. It's a compassion that kind of I like to think of it as glowing from the inside, from our heart outwards, and it takes care of the first human being that it encounters, glowing from the heart. And the first human being that this compassionate care encounters will be yourself. Everything between from the center of your heart outwards. And so that also is warrants this care, this love, this goodwill, this wanting to, you know, to feel and to wanting well-being for you yourself. And it flows out from there because as we get centered, nothing gets stuck. Nothing gets limited, these feelings, these attitudes. There's an openness that is inclusive of the world around us and others. But it's not an inclusion and a concern for others where we lose touch with what's here because this karuna flows from the heart through us out into the world. And so the sense of well-being in meditation, for example, that allows us to connect to the heart is the very well-being or openness, the well-being that allows this compassion to flow outwards. And so one of the characteristics of karuna that I mentioned yesterday is that it is not tied up in sorrow. It's not tied up in distress. We don't take it on as a burden. But actually there's a feeling of lightness or sweetness in this. Even though the heart might be broken, it might be, you know, there's things, my heart gets broken regularly with the suffering of the world and what people tell me they've experienced in their life or what I read in the news or anything. And there have been times when I've sobbed after reading the news because of what I see there. But I don't feel that I'm distressed and I don't feel like that I'm upset or that I feel sorrow exactly. I just feel deeply like heartbroken and maybe sad without sorrow or sorrow without sad, a kind of feeling, a poignant feeling that has no clinging to it. It's not self-preoccupation. It's not feeling sorry for myself or feeling distressed in myself. I'm quite welcoming and willing to have my heart broken and feel this kind of poignant kind of, I don't know what to call it, sadness in the world. But it's not it has no weight to it, and it has no. I don't feel like I'm suffering with it. And so this compassion, this karuna, that is not altruistic, but is not self-centered, where we ourselves are as important to care for as anyone else, and so there's a balance then in the compassion, with. Kind of in self-care and other care. Though Buddhists tend not to like to use the word self-care because it's such a magnet for self-preoccupation and the idea of self-centeredness is so powerful that even our language we probably should be a little bit careful with so that we don't kind of, it doesn't become a magnet for self-concern. But as we kind of can begin to discover this inner capacity for compassion, karuna, that comes from letting go of distraction, clinging, the hindrances, and as I keep saying, for many of us, it starts in meditation, then compassion is in a field, in a context of certain degree of freedom or ease or absence of clinging that itself supports all kinds of transformations. And so compassion, with compassion and this deep letting go of the hindrances and selfishness, resentment can turn to forgiveness. Hostility can turn into friendliness. And anger can turn into kindness. That compassion is a force that prompts or encourages the movement of letting go of further clinging. Why hold on to anything when we keep hurting ourselves if we hold on to it? Jealousy is a holding on. Hostility is a holding on. Ill will is a holding on. And this combination of this connection to this deeper well-being and this compassion is like a medicine or like a balm that transforms these places that are tough and hard inside of us. And whether that's hostility to ourselves or to others, whether it's angry with ourselves, critical ourselves or others, all the different ways we suffer. If we're deeply afraid or deeply hurt, to meet that with this softness and compassion and kindness and non-clinging, to meet our self-suffering with that part of us that's not self-preoccupied, to be able to be present in a loving and careful way. And so so one of the things that meditation does for many of us is that it does help us meet our own suffering. And it isn't, and partly really knowing our own suffering helps us to understand the suffering of others better. But, and so that helps us to have compassion for them. But it's also that as we understand ourselves better, we understand how we get, how the complications that might arise when we're encountering others, when we give birth to the near enemies of compassion, or the what's called the far enemies of compassion, which is horror or deep distress, or even the far, far enemy of is cruelty. And some people will respond to distress in the world. It's so painful and so unacceptable to be present for it. They just want to push it away, and sometimes even in forms of cruelty. So the reference point for karuna, this particular kind of compassion, in the teachings of the Buddha, is meditation practice. And hopefully when we, over time, as we discover the freedom that comes with meditation and how that can give rise to a certain kind of compassion that's very clean, that maybe it's compassion that's kind of like purified gold, it's kind of purified all the dross and all the impurities that can come along with it, then we understand that compassion doesn't diminish us. Compassion is not stressful in and of itself. That it's not sharing in the suffering of others in the sense of feeling their suffering so we feel it the same way, but rather it's feeling being with their suffering with a tenderness and a care and a concern and empathy, where we are bringing this soft, tender attitude of care and love to meet them and care for people and support them and be their friends, to be with them. And in this way, it's said that if you want to be happy in your life, be compassionate. Easier said than done. But the reference point for this little saying is this karuna that we discover or evoke or develop in the freedom from clinging, the freedom from the hindrances that that meditation can lead to, if we can really be present here. And if we can't be fully present here, then It's a wonderful thing to be compassionate for that, to be caring and loving for all the challenges we have. And because sometimes it's through compassion that we finally learn how to really be present here for our lived experience. So I hope that you will spend some time with thinking about, exploring, reflecting on the relationship between compassion and the absence of clinging, the absence of self-centeredness, but with the presence of self-love. So, thank you all very much.